You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. I don't know what I was thinking of when I heard the title of this movie, Night Shooters. I'm like, it's not very engaging sound, right? So it's people shooting at night? Okay, there was literally nothing else you could. And that is, in fact, accurate, only they're not talking about shooting guns at night. They're talking about a ragtag film crew making a horror movie without permits in an abandoned building marked for destruction and doing it at night. They're the Night Shooters. Hey, they're the Night Shooters. And everything seems not well, if not fine, then at least somewhat functioning on this movie. They got a crew, they got kind of an arrogant and a little too handsy star who himself isn't capable of doing proper action in this zombie movie. What was it called, Adrian?
Oh, man, I already forgot the name of it.
It was a play on Dawn of the Dead, corny zombie film. And then they sub him out for this guy who actually can do badass action and stuff, because he's like, oh, well, I'll just put this convenient mask on when I go out to fight these things. And then it stops, and you're like, oh, okay, we were just watching a movie, and they're like, kind of like One Cut of the Dead, here's the crew. A lot of people don't seem to like each other very much. Nobody trusts the director. The woman who's supposed to be making coffee can't figure out why the coffee isn't hot, which is a pertinent and reoccurring theme. But it's still a low-budget indie set. And then, they accidentally witness a gangland murder. And then the gangland guys are like, hey, are those guys watching us? And here we go, with a movie that chooses all too bravely and with not anywhere near enough budget, but with the gumption to cross the Raid and the 80s comedy action classic FX. This is Night Shooters. I'm Chris, and joining me is Adrian.
Hello, hello.
Luane.
Hey, how's it going?
And Ryan.
Hello, what's going on?
Oh, well, not much, really. Oh, yeah, we're reviewing Night Shooters. That's what it is.
Forgot for a minute.
Writer-director Mark Price, who has actually a pretty sizable resume of horror/action films, none of which I was really familiar with. Stuff like Zombies Next Door and Way of the Monkey's Claw. I'm going to say, Adrian, you've seen at least one of his movies, I'm betting.
I have not. It sounds like the movie they were filming in this movie.
The real star of this film is Jean-Paul Ly, who is a Cambodian action star. He was the star of a movie called Jailbreak from 2017 that I don't think I saw, but apparently, you know, in the world of people who follow indie martial arts films a little more obsessively than even I do, it was considered to be pretty great, so now I gotta check it out. And in fact, he's pretty great in this, because when it starts out, you're just like, okay, it's gonna be one of those things where it's martial artist versus all the gangsters while everybody else cowers and hides. But the truth is, it's more than that, because, well, first off, I think he's a really talented fighter, and I think the director really knows how to shoot action scenes. The editor's a little bit messy at points. There's a couple shots that in the fighting that don't quite cut at exactly the right moment, but overall, that's kind of a nitpick for such a low-budget film. But the fun thing that really elevates this film is that the effects person on the crew of the film kind of takes that FX thing, where she's like, okay, I can mix this and make explosives or corrosive acid, or, you know, sets all these traps everywhere or uses them like she's got explosives taped to baseball bats and shit like that. I'm like, okay, that is fun. And I think if it wasn't for that, it would be just a straightforward action film. But because they add that to it, and because everybody gets a chance to like play with the traps or be part of that. And I mean, it is action comedy, but they make clear not all these people are going to survive and they will not die well.
One of the most effective scenes in the movie is when one of them gets killed, because it's not just like an action movie, like someone got shot, it's done, let's move on. There's like real grief in people's expressions, and it's like, I feel so bad right now. I feel so bad for this person.
And that's not something I expected from this.
Me neither.
Like, especially from like the first like 15 minutes or so. I just thought, oh yeah, this is going to be kind of a fun, dark action comedy with some really good fight scenes. But yeah, that's what one of the surprisingly effective things about it. I completely agree.
And I think everybody is actually pretty good in this overall. I mean, nobody's going to win any acting awards, but there's nobody I was like, oh man, they're awful. I mean, I think maybe the guy who plays the director overplays his I'm kind of an asshole, selfish narcissist a bit, but he's doing it for the purpose of comedy. It's just, I think the film teeters between comedy and melodrama in its tone enough that he's swung so hard to one side that you're not sure which he's going for almost. You're like, well, it's obviously at first supposed to be absurd, but as it goes on, he's still doing it. You're like, come on, man, somebody's dead. Calm down.
Yeah. Like you, my initial thought was, oh, this is going to be a comedy. And then when the first person dies in the movie, you're like, oh, okay, this is real. But you do have a couple of guys like that that swing wildly back and forth. And the lead villain, the guy who's building their inn, feels like great value Nick Frost.
Yeah.
Like, he's the store brand version. And so that was sort of weird because it was hard to take him seriously. But then he'll do stuff that's like, well, you're clearly dangerous and scary, but you still remind me of Nick Frost and I can't quite get there.
I mean, fortunately, he's not the guy they're directly confronting most of the time. He's got an array of goons from a Guy Ritchie film. I mean, that, like, even they all sound like they're about to slip into Cockney at any given moment.
That's my favorite type of British guy.
A lot of them are given a lot of personality, and that helps a lot. They're funny or incompetent or whatever, and a lot of them are given deaths that are like, holy shit, There's one guy who falls out of a building, and when they show him splat, it's like, god damn.
It has my favorite type of trope for, like, criminals, where there's one who's just like this bumbling fuck and someone else in the crew knows it and hates him as much as we do. I always think that's really funny. I like when they do that. And just in general, I was actually kind of surprised how much I was laughing throughout this movie. Because, I mean, no offense for these little indie movies, but when I signed up to watch this, it's because I saw on the trailer someone said, I think what you said, this is a mix of The Raid and FX. So that's what got me in. I was like, let's see how this Raid action movie is going to be like. And I was laughing throughout. There's actually that whole coffee thing. There's a, I think, a really funny punchline that happens with that got me. There's visual gags. There's written gags that actually work well, more so than recent little indie movies that we've seen.
100% agree. The bulk of the gags actually pay off and work. As we said before, I like that somebody dies and it's not just a minute of dealing with it. No, it like resonates throughout the rest of the movie with the things people do and the way they react all the way up to the end, as these characters who were like, first we were just taking as a goofy, extreme personality types all seem all too real. And you're genuinely worried for them as the action amps up, especially when the bad guys bring in a trio of actual badass heavyweights who can fight hand to hand to deal with that kung fu fuck, as one of the guys keeps calling him. And those guys are great. When they have the fights between them, there's a fight with a knife fight between him and one of the guys that's like, wow, that was a badass fight. And, you know, the finale of it, how he wins, there's a finishing move that is like, whoa, like right out of Mortal Kombat.
And that's one of the things that's actually kind of fun about some of that, because like in a lot of other movies along this line, you'd find out that their martial arts stunt guy used to be like special forces or something. And he's like, I'm an accountant. They don't have these bizarre sort of backstories to these characters. I'm a little curious about their FX person, because she's really a lot handier with detonators than seems appropriate. But they don't do that thing where they have a reveal like that, where, you know, somebody in their group is actually something really... This is not, you know, Steven Seagal as a cook. These are just people making a shitty movie who just happen to be really good at a thing. And it happened to be the thing they need right then. Even the sound guy gets into it, because he's throwing out lav mics so that they can hear people in the building and tell where they are.
Like, I was just thinking that, too. Like, I feel like they really make good use of the premise, which I thought was so fun. And that's what made me want to watch it in the first place. I think that anyone who is, like, into filmmaking, I guess going into it, I was maybe worried they wouldn't use it enough. But I think that each character has their place and something specific that they need to execute and that they execute well. And that part of it was just so fun.
For a big ensemble with a lot of, not primary extras, but, like, small characters but are given enough to go, oh, I know who that person is. It handles that really well. It really spreads out the duties among the cast cast, everybody gets their moment to shine, even with the bad guys. There's a moment that made me laugh really hard where that when they first have dealt with like the kung fu guy and they're like, what the fuck? Who's this guy with the round kicks and shit? All right, who here knows martial arts? And he like points at the Asian guy and his crew. He's like, what? Fuck you. That's racist. It's one of those movies I started off kind of like, okay, well, I mean, it looks kind of junky and it'll probably be mildly fun. But by the end, I was like, man, I want to own a copy of this movie and show it to people. I had a really, really good time with this.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, though. You brought that up for a moment. This does look very independent.
Yeah,
for sure. And I know for some reason, like, that might bother you enough to, like, turn it off because you think it's going to be something else. No, no, stick with this one. It maybe doesn't have, like, the look of a movie that you would see in theaters or something like that. But just like Chris, I actually kind of wish that it would have been released a little earlier. It's not horror, but it works good with, like, a party that I'm going to have this weekend. I feel like this would have been a good group movie. There's a lot of fun to be had with it, for sure.
Well, go on to your final thoughts.
I really dug this. I was a little worried at first just because we've seen similar movies recently that try to do action and comedy, and I feel like neither of those work with some of these indie films. And unfortunately, it has to do with the budget sometimes. And that was never the case here. This does have a small budget. There are times where they use CG, but it never really bothered me. There was even an entire kill that was CG. But the concept of it was so fun and gnarly that I didn't have a problem with it. I thought that was pretty cool. All the acting is pretty good. All the martial arts great. And it's filmed well. Like, it's that pan out zoom. We're going to show everything. There's no Christopher Nolan zoom ins and quick cuts and all that stuff. And it's charming. It's charming throughout. It's another addition to that new genre of like film exploitation. So you could watch this. You could watch One Cut of the Dead. And you could be like, hey, I used to do that with me and my friends, and you could all have a good time. This is just a good time throughout. So I'm going to give this 3.5 big sticks of dynamite that I thought were going to blow up way bigger, and they didn't, out of 5.
Luane?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. It's comedic, but there is weight to what happens as well. It's sort of cleverly uses the characters in it. It sets stuff up. It knocks things down. It does all the stuff it's supposed to do. But it's entertaining in the process. As somebody who's shot some independent movies in some pretty scary places, I was like, yeah, it's about that ridiculous. It was fun. It was like a bizarre fantasy for like independent filmmakers to really enjoy as well. So in the end, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 Geary charges, which are basically the same thing Adrian's talking about, but they're complete bullshit and exactly the type of thing you include in your movie when you need it to do a specific thing.
I didn't even know what they were myself. I was like, is that a real thing?
No.
Ryan?
Yeah, Chris, I think I went in feeling the same way you did. Like in the first like 15, 20 minutes or so, I was like, okay, this will be fun. And then John Paul Lai's action scenes come in and they're just like amazing, so well shot, like so well choreographed. And I was like, I feel like his action scenes would maybe be enough to sustain the movie alone. But like, there's so much outside of that. They utilize the premise really, really well. Like I was saying earlier, each character has their role to play. And like Luane said, it has more emotional weight to it than you'd expect to. I think it's really fun if you're like, especially like a filmmaker. But if not, I think there's a lot of fun to be had here too. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 squibs.
You know, John Paul Lai is actually a very experienced person in the industry, having worked in a number of like, you know, smaller martial arts films as actor, but also as an action choreographer on a lot of films and stunt performer on a lot of films and shows, like including really big stuff like Fast and the Furious movies, DC and Marvel movies and shows. I mean, he's been doing this for a while and it shows. He is really good at it, but he's also just charismatic enough to pull off what he needs to do in here. He's no, as the film name checks, Scott Adkins, but, you know, he's got enough to get by, and that's fine in terms of personality. The director here, I mean, I know he's been working for a while. I haven't seen any of his other stuff. I don't think I know anyone who has, sadly, but after this, I hope more people talk about this one and give this a try, because if somebody handed this guy a budget, like, say, 2-3 times the size of this one, who knows what we're going to get out of him next? Because I think he is a real sort of hidden gem in the rough watching this movie come together that shouldn't work. It really shouldn't work. Yet it does. There's so many things working against it, and yet it was really fun because of how professionally made it is. I obviously liked it a lot, and I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 warm car beers that are the most delicious beer you've ever had. I've been in the situation where you've just had the worst day and you're like, fuck, the only beer is warm. And then it's just like amazing.